This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables Radio Hour with round, soft, pillowy bread filled with delicious PB&J. Here's your host, Uncrustables.
Caller on line three. What's eating you?
No one.
Crust, is that you?
Ugh.
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, crust.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. We do a podcast. It's Tuesday. Yeah, that's what they call it, Tuesday. Real quick, I did go back and listen to, in the warm-up show, I think I will allude to in a few minutes, that I want to go back and listen to a 2020 podcast. And I did. From April. Bizarre.
April of 2020?
Yes.
What was it?
You were talking about taking a drive to get out of your condo to take a ride through Asbury Park. And you couldn't believe how many people were out and about. And I had told you, and I remember this day too. This is nuts. I, the day prior, went to Home Depot. And everybody was masked up. And they had a line to get in. You had to wait until your time was allowed to go in. And also the terrible audio as we were both on Comrexes. I shouldn't say that. It wasn't awful. It was okay. But it's just weird. All of our subject matter was geared around the really first month of the pandemic and how fast would it get better. Who knew? We still had months and months and months, actually years to go.
Many months and a year to go.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
So that was like April, I think April 4th or something like that. I don't remember exactly. It was a Monday though.
Is that right?
Yeah. Interesting.
I should go. I never go back and even drop the needle on one of these podcasts.
From time to time, I like to pick a random date and just see what it sounded like.
Yeah.
And I told you, our first couple were horrible.
Sure.
Because we really tried to make it like, all right, what happened on the show today?
Ooh.
And we really sounded like two buffoons.
Two losers.
Now it's pretty good.
Now we're terrific, Jerry. You know, I'm a big complainer, Jerry. I complain about everything.
You?
Yeah, I know that's kind of my reputation. I make a lot of complaints, and I don't like to be a complainer, but I do complain a lot.
I don't think you mind it.
I got to say one thing that I actually don't complain about and actually enjoy.
Okay.
My commute to work.
And with the Holland Tunnel open,
yeah.
I agree.
Like I enjoy riding at night, in the middle of the night, when it's dark.
It's easy.
It's not a lot of people on the road. I can listen to great music. I could listen to a podcast.
Yep.
You could listen to a book on tape. Like, that is your time.
Yeah. It's like the train time is your own time. Your commute time with our hours is our own time.
I'm not going to get a phone call on my ride to work.
Although that's happened before.
That has happened. Craig has called a couple times.
Rare, but it's happened.
Gene has called a couple times, but it's rare.
Yes.
Like, I'm startled when the phone rings.
For sure.
I'm like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
I should be the only one up and about right now.
Yes, I know.
So to that end, I listened to a nice podcast this morning from, I brought this up once before. A listener had sent me this podcast. It's from the Ringer, from Bill Simmons, The Ringer.
Okay.
It's a
JJ.
It's not JJ. It's a podcast called Plain English.
Okay.
And they just break down certain things.
All right.
And within this 40 minutes or less.
Oh, perfect.
And I listened to it on 1.5 speed. So I'm like, I'm really.
You're ripping through
them. Ripping through them. But this one was interesting this morning. It was all about that that bank that collapsed.
I have not followed this story at all.
Silicon Valley Bank. Me neither. But I'm interested in that. It is a big story, and I wondered this really dumbed it down nicely.
Oh, okay.
But it also got me thinking, like, would you ever put your money in a bank you never heard of?
No.
Me neither.
In a bank I never heard of? No.
Like, you never heard of Silicon Valley Bank. Now, I know we're not in the Silicon Valley, so maybe that's why we never heard of it.
Yeah, I think actually that, in fairness, that is true. When you go into these different cities that I do with Rutgers, you see a lot of these banks that to us mean nothing.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell is that? But it's also the community bank. But I know what you're saying.
And, you know, I listen to Dave Ramsey, the money guy that I enjoy, and he's very much against the big banks, right? He thinks you should use a community bank. But I would be I don't know why I'm nervous for.
Is it still FDIC insured for up to $500,000?
Actually, it's only up to $250,000.
Oh, I thought it was $500. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I guess now what they were trying to do, it also showed they really broke down as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like not understanding, like, how does a bank just all of a sudden go out of business? And to really dumb it down, they were somebody who they gave money to startups.
Okay.
So then startups in the Silicon Valley had their whole businesses in there. And then they were using this money, instead of it sitting there, they were using the money to invest in things. Then when people wanted their money back,
they didn't have it.
Well, they have some to give back, but then when people start getting there, I guess something got people nervous about this bank. Then, because they're Silicon Valley, these are all tech people. These are all people that are internet chatting all day as business owners. They are on Twitter. They start to put stuff out there. Now, all of a sudden, everyone wants their money out.
It's a race to get your money out.
And they don't have it.
Right. Right.
And that's really what it was. But now, so then people are saying, well, you mentioned like, oh, you're insured up to you're insured up to $250,000. But now the banks, now the government's trying to say or thinking about doing where you're insured to all your money. If that bank is FDIC insured, it should be for all the money.
You would think if they can cover it.
Because I was wondering, if you're somebody who has $1 million in the bank,
four different banks.
Is that how you have to do it?
I think that's how you have to do it.
What about my 401k? I can only have that in one bank.
I don't think that's the same.
No?
That's investment money.
Yeah.
That's not a savings account. That's a good question. See, I never thought 401ks, 529s, I don't think they get the backing like a savings account does, where the money just sits there and just earns.
Oh, because ours could go to technically zero if we lost all of our money in the stock.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. The only thing that can happen in a bank is that the interest rates plummet to near zero. They're never going to go in reverse. Your money should be safe. Your principal is safe. But the 401k, I don't think so.
And this bank supposedly took their money, the money that they got from people depositing into their bank, and they put their money into something that really got screwed up once interest rates went up.
Yeah.
So when the interest rates went up, their money was going down.
Oof.
Yeah. It was rough. A little complicated. The woman he had on as a guest, she helped for sure. I felt like I got done with that podcast having learned something.
Yeah.
But it also makes me nervous, though, the small banks. But then again, you could easily see, like, tomorrow you wake up and go, Citibank's out of business. You'd be like, what? But I don't know how these things happen when they happen.
Yeah, and happen quickly.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they had the big bank bailout how many years ago?
Yeah.
Because they were worried about not just the banks and business, but your money. And also them having to back it.
The FDIC.
Yes. That's the government backing it. Where are they getting the money from? We've got a $1 trillion deficit.
They also say people get mad. Like, let's say, like you and I were not banking with Silicon Valley Bank. Mm-hmm. Now, if we hear the government's going to bail them out, we might be pissed. Like, these big bankers. But meanwhile, bailing them out really helps the people.
The little guy.
The little guy who had their money in there didn't know they were a bunch of screw-ups.
I know people say there are two sides to every story. There are like eight sides to every story. If you really dig deep and want to understand all the intricacies and facts of a story. It is true. I don't know. That's why a lot of people that say really the best thing to invest in, especially if you're is property. Because at least you have something tangible in front of you. You invest in businesses. Man, are you business loans? That business goes out. There's nothing there. And if they can't pay it, then what? You give someone a mortgage, they can't pay the mortgage. All right, at least you can save some face, if not all of it. I know it sucks to kick people out of their home, but at least you own the home that you can then resell and get some, if not all, of your money back. You're starting, you're giving out personal, you know, loans. Man, good luck. And business loans that have no collateral, that's, you're asking for it.
The other weird thing, too, like, we both have mortgages.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to get a mortgage from someone, mm-hmm. I know, like, I was, like, particularly, like, who I wanted to get a mortgage with, right?
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to go to this, and I'm going to get this mortgage. And then they turn around and sell it.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you're with a bank you never heard of.
Correct.
And they have your mortgage.
Right. I remember we started with, who do we start with? Bank of America. And I thought, great. They had a great rate. It's Bank of America. Why not? So we buy our house. We make the first two payments to Bank of America. And they sold it to some no-name mom-and-pop mortgage
right.
company. I'm like, who the hell is this? Now, lucky for me in that, not that I guess it matters all that much, within 3 or 4 months of that, they sold the mortgage to M&T Bank. Great. All right. I'm good. I'm back with a big bank. That's fine. You know, they're a big Baltimore-based bank, M&T Stadium, where the Ravens
oh, yeah.
play. So I'm totally fine. And we've been with them now for 6 years or 5 years, whatever it is. But those first 6 months, our mortgage was sold twice.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I agree. Very strange.
Like, I got my mortgage with Kearny Bank.
Okay.
Which they're big down the Jersey Shore. But they sold it, like, within 3 months to Wells Fargo.
Right. They made their closing costs.
Yeah.
They made a little bit of interest the first couple of months. Done. See ya. That's a hit and get out.
I guess. It's weird. That whole money thing is always so...
seedy.
Because we don't understand it.
I don't. And I wish I did. I don't.
I try following Guy Adami from CNBC, who loves WFAN, and we
yeah.
love him. And
I would love
money.
To have Guy in studio for a pod, not even a show, like a podcast, where we could really talk to him for an hour. I know you did that once.
I was still confused.
I have very specific questions that I think have more basic answers.
Okay.
That
well,
I'd
we can
love
do that
to understand
again.
About. If he would, that'd be great.
I think he would. Because sometimes, like, when things are in trouble, like we have a bank collapse, and mm-hmm. then I'm following his tweets, Guy Adami. I know he's being snarky, but I don't know what it means.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
I'm like, I know this isn't good, happy thoughts. But I don't know enough about it to even know, does this mean I should make a move? Don't
right.
make a move.
I'll give you one right now, because even G said it this morning. Bitcoin. Bitcoin hovered around 16,000 for months and months and months. And I actually thought about buying into it at 16, maybe even 18,000. I figure, is it really going to go to, I mean, if it does, it does. I'm not buying $18,000 worth.
Right,
I thought
buying
five,
a piece of it.
I thought $5,000. Okay. So if it goes up to 36, I double my money. And I'm like, you know what? I'm over this crypto stuff. All these people, I don't even know what it is. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm still trying to figure out how people are buying pictures and saying that it's worth money.
When NFTs.
I can reprint the same effing picture.
Yeah.
So I don't get any of that. And now it's up to 25. 25, considering it was up to 70-something at one point, with this bank information, is it going to continue to soar past? I don't know. And then you almost feel like, did you really earn anything?
Right.
But I guess if you buy, sell, and you get the money, you did. I don't know the whole thing.
Yeah, so that Bitcoin, so I had bought it at 15.
Right.
Right. And again, I had it when it got up to like almost 75. And I was like, I'm going to sell it at 100,000. Well, came all the way back down. I finally sold it just yesterday because it got that nice little bump from this.
You held on to it as it fell all the way back?
Back to 15, and I sold it yesterday for 24.
But so I was like, I made money.
Yeah. I was like, I got to get out of this because I could just see it going to zero.
Damn, dude.
I don't know.
So you were in a position to make 5 times your money.
At one point, yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
But I got greedy.
Yeah, you did. Well, no, I disagree. Because there's a difference between being greedy and setting a number in
yeah,
your
you're
head.
Right. You're right, I did set the number.
That to me is like gambling when you go to AC. You're up 400, but you said in your mind, if I get up 1,000, I'm done. I'm not going to be greedy and go for $3,000.
Yeah.
And you got up to 750, and oh, you're almost there, and then all of a sudden it goes the other way. That's not greedy, you just didn't hit your mark.
That's true. So I guess I could have been in my head greedy with my mark. To begin
maybe,
with, to
but,
set it at.
But again, I'll disagree because everybody and their brother was saying it was going to soar past 100.
They're like, Bitcoin might get to $300,000.
Yes. So to me, 100 would be like, you're selling kind of short. That was wrong.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? I'm sick of looking at it every day.
Yep, I know.
Wondering what it's doing. And when
you become obsessed with it.
Yeah. And when this happened with that Silicon Valley Bank, I did think, I was like, either Bitcoin's going to go in the toilet or people right. are going to say, oh, we need more Bitcoin.
Sure.
And then it moved a decent amount. I was like, let me get out of this. Otherwise, I'm going to stare at it again, and it's going to go back down to 15.
What was it? Was it Dogecoin that got up to 25 cents?
Dogecoin, yeah.
I have it, actually.
Yeah, I bought that Dogecoin when it first came out at 2 cents.
Yes. And it went to like...
I wanted that. The point I said for that was a dollar.
Yeah, no, that's 7.5 cents right yeah. now, I think. That was... I'm going to look this up real quick because that one, at one point, you talk about getting greedy.
Yeah.
I bought not a ton, but I bought enough Dogecoin to where are my shares here? Let's see here. So I have in Dogecoin, this goddamn thing is so slow. Jesus, it won't load. I want to say I have 5,000. Yes, so I have 5,000 Dogecoins, whatever that means.
Whatever that is.
So right now my balance, I can't find my balance. So right now my balance is 7 cents. It doesn't show my balance. But it's something like $800 or so. It's not a lot. At one point, though, I had like, I want to say $3,000 worth of Dogecoin on a nothing investment. And I was the same way. So I read somewhere it might get to 30 cents or something. I think it got to 23 maybe, something like that. I'm like, man, this thing's flying. And it hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
And sunk like a stone. I'm like, oh, I'm stuck with it now.
It just sucks. It seems so random.
It's volatile.
Because even regular stocks, right? So it's like.
Yeah.
The one I don't understand is like Tesla. So Tesla's one where they're, it was at like $400-something, and now it's like yesterday I looked, it was at like 180.
Really?
Yeah. And these guys I follow on YouTube, they tell you when you should buy a stock, like yeah. wait till it. They've got Tesla, they think, going down to $50 at some point.
And it was a 400.
It was a 4-something, maybe before 50.
Hmm.
Know what they were saying about why the... The outlook for Tesla is not great. They feel like the Tesla dude himself, what's his name again?
Elon Musk,
has got a Donald Trump-like reputation where certain people just decided they don't like him.
Okay.
And no matter what he does, and then other people will fear that if they're driving a Tesla, people are going to look at them like they're an Elon Musk supporter, just like they would look at a Donald Trump supporter, and they don't want any part of that. Maybe I don't buy a Tesla.
Interesting. I don't look. I mean, I see people driving Teslas. I think they're some of them are cool looking, yeah. some of them are ugly. I'm intrigued by some of them. I don't even think of him.
I saw a cool one yesterday, a Tesla parked in my neighborhood. It had the brand new plates on it, the paper plates.
Okay.
And I looked inside as I walked past. The steering wheel wasn't a circle. It looked like
like the Batman one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is badass.
You can put that in your car.
I could.
Yeah, just go buy one and have a mechanic install it for you.
Why don't I do that?
I don't know.
Imagine you walk by my car, Jerry, and I've got like a Batman steering wheel.
Yes. I mean, I know you're very busy, but why don't you just pick one of these nothing afternoons and
all right,
take
Jerry,
care of it?
When will I find the time?
Monday through Friday, anytime between 11:30 a.m. and 8 p.m.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
I actually had this conversation with Gina about the perception of how much time I have.
Okay.
Versus I don't have. And this goes back to the conversation we had yesterday.
Where you boxed yourself in.
I boxed myself in.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just, I'll show you what, because in our heads, I have between noon
mm-hmm.
and 8 p.m.
Correct.
But I'll show you where I really don't.
And I'll fight back.
Okay, yeah, because this is me boxing myself in.
Mm-hmm.
I get home at, let's say, noon.
Sure.
I walk the dog. That's about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I eat my lunch. I clean up from that. It's now 1:15. It's 1:15. Right. At 3:30, I take the dog back out.
Right.
I cook my dinner. I clean up. I do some work. I go through the mm-hmm. sports news. I shout. Like, to me.
But you're talking about routine as opposed
yeah.
to what has to be done.
Yes, routine.
So for, this is where I would fight back.
Okay.
Especially as a single man, that if you had children, that definitely changes things. You don't. That 3:30 walk can be handled by a dog walker anytime you need. That's number one. Number two, the whole lunch thing. If you've got somewhere to go or something to do, you could stop at Chipotle and get something very healthy to eat on the run and go on your merry way and go do it. You don't have to go home and eat and clean up and take the dog for a walk. All things that can be. I'm not saying every day. I'm saying if there are things you want to do, let's say once a week you wanted a free day.
Yeah.
Where you're not going home. Let's just say, you wanted to, I know you're not a golfer, but let's say you wanted to play golf every Tuesday. You very easily, and more than anybody else I know, could set it up to go play golf every Tuesday. Your mind completely free of any responsibility, and then still get home at a reasonable time and take a shower, take the dog out, do your work, and go to bed. Now, it would cost you a little bit of money for the dog walker for sure, but there's no reason you couldn't set that up every Tuesday to where you go from here to Hominy Hill Golf Course in Colts Neck. You could have lunch there, hit the golf course, be done. You could even eat dinner there if you wanted, but let's say you just wanted to get the hell home. If you had lunch there at noon, you played at 1, you'd be done at 5:30, you'd be home at 6, in plenty of time to take a shower, take the dog out, make a small dinner because it's late, and still be ready to have the eyes closed at 8:15.
Yes, because in my boxed-in world, my free time every day is 1:15 to 3:30.
Right, because of your routine.
Right, because I'm routining. I'm like, okay, at 3:30, I walk the dog. At 4 correct. O'clock, I turn the oven on and start to make my chicken. Then,
but you can alter your routine. Whereas if you have a job from 9 to 5, you can't alter the routine to be home between 1 and 5.
Right.
You're not getting home before 6:30 no matter what you do. Hey, you can take a day off randomly, but you can't say every Tuesday I want to go play golf and just leave work at 10 o'clock right. in the morning after being there for 2 hours.
Right.
That's the advantage that we have. And you have it more than me because I do have kid responsibilities after 2:30. But even that, I still have 3 hours of time.
Because I'll even have days like when we had to go back to the vets for my dog.
Sure.
And they were like, okay, we have an opening at 3:30. In my head, I was like, oh my God, 3:30.
I got to make dinner.
3:30 is when I start making dinner. So I'm going to be there at 3:30. Then it's 20 minutes back. I'm going to be way behind. Yeah, that's how my mind thinks.
But you need to step back, though, sometimes and be like, ruin my time of what?
Right. Like, right, what am I doing?
What is it really disrupting? It's just your mental calendar and your mental routine.
Yeah, it's so strong.
3:30 could be 4:30, no problem.
Yeah.
Would it be that big a deal if you started cooking at 4:30 and ate at 5:15?
No.
It's still 3 hours before you go to bed, plenty of time to digest. It's not like when I've had nights when I go out to dinner with my parents at 6:30 and want to lay down at 8:15, sit down with a big old, oh my God, yeah. Whatever the hell's on my stomach. It's terrible.
I know. I got to try to break free of that.
Yes. You are your own worst enemy.
I'm putting myself in a prison, Jerry.
Yeah. And I actually think the more I sit there and think about it, Wednesday. If I were you, I would try to designate Wednesday Al Day. Get a dog walker just on Wednesdays. That's it. At noon, 3, find something you like. Go do it every Wednesday.
Right from here.
Yes, absolutely. Or even if you have to go home, whatever, get changed, use the bathroom. Maybe you want to eat your lunch and go out at 1 o'clock. Take your dog out. You only got to get the dog walker one time a week. Why not? Free yourself, Al. Free yourself.
Because I always also feel guilty that the dog's been in the house all day. And if I go even home now and let her out, I don't want to go anywhere else because I feel like I left her home all day.
Then get the dog walker for the 12:30 one, the 12 o'clock one, and go to the beach or something. Go do that walk you want to do by yourself. Free your mind. You know, and maybe you get home at 2 o'clock instead of whatever. Now go straight to Asbury Park. Park your car. Walk around. Read a book. I don't know. Do something fun. As reading a book is fun, but
as En Vogue I think said, Jerry, free your mind, the rest will follow.
Right.
Free your mind.
That's true. You need
follow.
That as much as anybody I know.
Because of my own imposed
correct.
Self-imposed things.
Correct.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. That's so weird. Why does my brain do that?
I don't know. We're all different.
Brain. I got a weird brain, Jerry.
You are attached to your condo.
Mm-hmm.
and I want to get the hell out of my house. As much as I love it.
Right, you like to go experience things.
Yeah, I just find sitting around watching TV is as unproductive in existence as you can have.
Yeah.
Me personally. Like, even on Sundays during football season, I feel like a piece of trash when I lay down at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. Even though I might have worked the Cowboy game, and I know I've got to watch the Giants or the Jets for work the next day, I feel like I completely wasted a day.
Yeah.
I'm good watching a game. The two of them is too much.
Yeah, two games, right.
And yet we do it.
Right. That's why it's great when one of the Giants or Jets are off.
Yes, for sure.
Or have the Monday night game. You go, oh, just one of these games, and then I can.
And, of course, that's, you know, those are the days in the past when Brady and the Patriots are playing Manning and the Colts at 4:15 after the Jets were on at 1. Like, oh.
Right. You're like, oh, I got to watch that one.
So much for the Giants on Monday night.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
We'll be back here tomorrow on a Wednesday. Who knows what Aaron Rodgers will tell us tomorrow.
Oh, my God. I did say tomorrow.
You did.
You said today. I said no.
I said Wednesday after 10 a.m. So not.
I said today.
Okay.
And some you point said today. Tomorrow after 10.
Right.
And then me and Sal get to talk about it.
Yes.
Thursday and Friday.
Yes. Hi, Jerry. Soup.